a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The House Commerce and Energy Committee will now come to order. I'd like to greet those who are with us here in the committee room today, as well as those listening on the Internet. I'd also remind everyone to please turn off your cell phones or set them to a silent mode that includes any other electronic devices you may have. And with that, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Kamak.
Here.
Cronin. Greenfield.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Miller. Nelson. Parsley.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Stalzer. Westra. Consett.
Here.
Solem.
Here.
We do have a quorum.
We have a quorum with the majority of the members-elect present. At this time, the chair would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
Second.
That motion by Representative Peterson, seconded by Representative Rounds. All in favor of approval will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. We have new pages with us this week. Welcome, and please come up to the microphone and tell us who you are and where you're from. Who's first? Don't be shy. And that microphone is always on.
Okay.
Yep, just bend that toward you. That's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
I am Madison Inches, and I'm from Aberdeen, and I go to Aberdeen Christian School. And I don't know. What do I want to do with my life?
You know, there are a lot of us up here, Madison, that aren't sure either.
I know what I'm going to do with my life.
Okay.
Am I supposed to... Say that?
That's fine.
Oh, okay. I'm going to nursing school next year, and then I want to be a traveling or international nurse after that, and then after that, I want to work in an orphanage in a different country.
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rosalyn Rasmussen, and I'm from Viborg. Next year, I'm hoping to go to the University of Sioux Falls and major in elementary education with a religion minor.
Oh, super.
Yep.
Thank you. And for your information, if you have anything to distribute to the committee members, please, we'll have our pages accommodate us on that. Okay. I'd also like to remind everyone who plans on testifying on any of the bills today, please sign in at the podium at the back of the room. And also remind everyone that all questions will come through the chair. So, we have four bills on our agenda today. We will take them in the order as printed on the agenda. And with that, we will open our hearing on Senate Bill 67. Senate Bill 67 is an act to revise the requirements for health maintenance organizations. And with that, I would open proponent testimony to Senate Bill 67. Good morning, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Department of Labor and Regulation, Division of Insurance, and I don't know myself what I'm going to do when I grow up yet. Senate Bill 67. This deals with health maintenance organizations, or HMOs, and essentially we're trying to do three things with a very, very long bill. First of all, the Department of Health had determined last year when they did the red tape study that, you know, we really don't need two state agencies regulating health maintenance organizations. One should be sufficient. So health recommended that they no longer play a role in regulation of HMOs. And so what you'll see in this bill is deletion of the secretary of the Department of Health throughout the chapter, chapter 5841, which is the HMO chapter. So that's one big part of the bill, and a lot of the sections deal with that. Secondly, over the years, going back to the 1990s, we've passed a lot of managed care legislation in South Dakota. But most of that went in chapters other than the HMO chapter. So what you had is a whole bunch of managed care requirements in other chapters and then some leftover ones from way back when in the HMO chapter, and they didn't always match up. And sometimes they duplicated each other. And so what we've done is deleted a number of the sections of the HMO chapter so to make sure it's clear which one prevailed, and that is the more recent legislation that we've passed on managed care. So that's another big part of this bill is deleting those sections that are either duplicative, unnecessary, or actually conflicting with other statutes. So we've accomplished that with this legislation. And then finally, we wanted to clean up a few items to clarify things and also to update our current HMO model consistent with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, which updated theirs national model a few years ago. So some of the items that you'll see because of that is, number one, we're clarifying that like standalone dental plans, if they wanted to form an HMO, this provision would specifically allow for that. We're also clarifying that nonprofits can engage in HMO business. One of the other, probably the most substantive new item that's in here, you'll see a mention of what's called risk-bearing entities. And what we're talking about there is if an HMO wants to do a contract with a group of providers, let's say a group of doctors, and said, well, we want to do this on a capitated basis. That is, we want to just pay you a flat amount per covered person, and then regardless of the amount of care you give, that's all you're going to get. So you could either make money or lose money. Well, that's some degree of risk is passed down to those providers in that kind of arrangement. We want to make sure that the proper controls are in place by the HMO. We don't want to license the risk-bearing entities or anything like that. What we just want to make sure is the HMO is properly take care of this through the right contractual provisions, and so that's what you'll see is the NAIC model provisions as it relates to risk-bearing entities. The last thing I would mention is that there were a number of amendments, clarifying amendments that we put on the other side. We believe that all of the those that had concerns in this legislation are now taken care of, at least to the best of our knowledge, and I hope that you would favorably consider this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Additional proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. Well, in this case, I guess, lady and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Dennis Duncan. I am the registered lobbyist for DakotaCare. DakotaCare is a HMO that has been in existence since the mid-1980s. And at the time that DakotaCare was organized back in the mid-1980s, we were operating under a statutory scheme, quite frankly, that was pertinent to their operations at that time. But as Mr. Moses has indicated, the evolution of managed care over the years has changed the landscape, if I might use that term, with respect to the operations of HMOs. And we rise here today in support of this legislation and would further add that this particular piece of legislation is a very cooperative process between the Division of Insurance and the providers. In fact, DakotaCare has had the opportunity all year long during the year of 2012, to participate in a process with the Division of Insurance to draft and take a look at these particular amendments. And so we rise in support of this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Additional proponent testimony. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 67. Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents? Opponents. Going once. Going twice. Seeing no opponents, I would close the public input portion on Senate Bill 67 and open it up for committee questions. Questions of the committee? Representative Rounds, I knew you had one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this would be for Mr. Moses. I guess a curiosity question, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Certainly, please.
Why was the Department of Health brought into the HMOs to begin with? We're eliminating them now, the Secretary of Health, from the oversight. Why were they part of this to begin with?
Mr. Chairman, they actually had that, the language that you're seeing omitting the Secretary of Health from the chapter in their red tape bill last year, because it was part of their initiative, and so that's something they were desirous of. We noticed that when we last year when they were going through the process, and we said, well, wait a minute, we're right in the process of redoing this whole chapter. Why don't we just wait and do it all at once? And so we shared our draft with Department of Health when we went through this, and they agreed that this was the right approach. So we've been working in conjunction with them all through this process.
If I may, clarification. I mean, way in the beginning when we brought this action in back in the 80s, I would imagine, when we did this legislation to begin with, why did we have the two insurance and Department of Health involved?
Please. Sorry, I misunderstood your question. Good question. A lot of states in the HMO world were back and forth whether or not it should be a Department of Health function, Division of Insurance function. Actually, this even predated my time with the division, which still goes way, way back. but it's my understanding that was kind of a compromise deal that makes sure that both voices were heard as far as the proper regulation of HMOs, because they were, as originally intended, you know, they were kind of a hybrid between a healthcare provider and an insurance company in the traditional HMO model, and I think that's where they got that whole concept from, is how those other states had regulated. But as far as the actual discussions that took place, I really was not even in on those.
Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, I would close that portion of this hearing and open it up for committee discussion or action. Representative Rounds.
I move due pass on Senate Bill 67.
The motion due pass on Senate Bill 67 by Representative Rounds, seconded by Representative Kirschman. Any discussion, Representative?
I'll make it brief if I may, Mr. Chair.
Please.
I think the red tape is definitely a plus, eliminating some of this language. I don't see any reason for the Department and Secretary of Health to be in here. It just makes sense. Good cleanup. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, the motion is due pass on Senate Bill 67. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Comock.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller. Nelson. Parsley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Stalzer. Westra. Consett.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
We had 9 yeas, 4 excused.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members-elect, Senate Bill 67 is passed. Representative Parsley. And the motion to move consent by Representative Parsley, seconded by Representative Greenfield. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 67 is now on our consent calendar. The next bill on our agenda is Senate Bill 12. Senate Bill 12 is an act to update citations and revise certain provisions regarding permits for energy facilities. And with that, I will open proponent testimony to Senate Bill 12. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. My name is Gary Hansen. I serve as chair of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. Senate Bill 12. Well, I'm going to make this a lot quicker. as the PUC goes through its process during the year, of course, we find out some challenges to South Dakota codified law that we think that we need to change. Just a minor one here today is that we find that there is a possibility, and to some extent in other states, where existing pipeline is able to make changes without going through the process with the PUC to get the permits, the siting permits, as it ordinarily would. And so it makes changes and updates the pipeline so that it otherwise would have qualified to have to go through the siting permit. And they make changes and without well, by circumventing the process. And so we're bringing basically just a change in the definition to construction to you today in order to get rid of that ambiguity. Additionally, on page 3 and 4, there's changes to bring the to bring the code up to date with the national code. I could give you a more lengthy explanation, but I think that should suffice. If there are any questions, I'll stand by for them.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any additional proponent testimony to Senate Bill 12? Proponents? Seeing none, is there any opponents to Senate Bill 12? Opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, I would close that portion of this hearing and open it up for committee questions. Any questions? Seeing no questions, discussion or action?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Konzik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
The motion is do pass on Senate Bill 12 by Representative Konzik, seconded by Representative Brown. Do you have any discussion, Representative Konzik? No? Okay. Anything else to add? Seeing no further comments, the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 12. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Comock.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Greenfield. Kirschman.
Aye.
Miller. Nelson. Parsley.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Stalzer. Westra. Konzett.
Aye.
And Solem.
Aye.
9 yeas and 4 excused.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members elect, Senate Bill 12 passes. The motion to move 12 to the consent calendar by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative, was it Rounds?
Probably.
All those in favor of the consent motions will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 12 is now on our consent calendar. I was a bit remiss on Senate Bill 67. I did not assign anyone. It should, because even though it's on consent, but Representative Rounds, would you speak to 67? You can have that one, too. And on 67, Representative Parsley, would you speak to 67? And should it come up, I would ask Representative Parsley, should this go to the floor, if you'd speak to 12 and to your caucus, and I'll speak to 12 in our caucus. In caucus, yes, please. Okay, the third bill on our list. We're moving right along here. My threat and promise still holds from last week. Senate Bill 85. Senate Bill 85 is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the production incentive payment available to ethanol producers. And with that, I will open proponent testimony to Senate Bill 85.
Good morning, Mr.
Representative.
Chair. And the House Commerce Committee, Melissa Mankstead, District 5 representative. Currently, our South Dakota ethanol plants qualify for an incentive payment that is available to them if their ethanol is distilled and fully produced in South Dakota. But you'll see also in the statute that there is a requirement that the ethanol be denatured to be eligible for that incentive, which was all fine when South Dakota was ethanol producers were shipping their ethanol within the United States, but now they are looking at a global exporting. And in those countries, the requirement or the specs are that it be undenatured. And so when they switched and are producing some undenatured ethanol for foreign export, they have canceled themselves out of being the available for the incentive program. And this bill removes that requirement that if the ethanol is exported or to be exported, the denaturing requirement does not apply. So I'll stay around for questions, but I don't know if there's somebody else who wants to testify either. But
thank you. Additional proponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Harry Christensen. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Ethanol Producers Association. I don't have much to add to the bill, but I'll discuss just briefly the amendment that was put on the Senate floor. We had missed a provision when we drafted it with respect to the taxation by the state of South Dakota of drinking alcohol. It's an 8 cents a gallon tax. We'd never looked at that before because, you know, we don't drink our alcohol, unfortunately. But the Revenue Department picked it up, and the amendment exempts it from the 8 cents a gallon. But we do have a saying, however, is drink the best, burn the rest. But but that's basically what it does. It exempts it from the provision for the tax on alcohol for consumption. So, and I'll stand by if there's any questions with respect to the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Additional proponent testimony. Proponent testimony. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 85? Any opponents? Last call, opponents. Seeing none, I will close that portion of this bill and open it up for committee questions. Representative Peterson, did you have a question?
I have a motion.
You have a question. I'll be back to you, Representative.
For Harry Christensen.
Okay.
I'm a city kid. How do you denature this ethanol? I don't know.
Well, generally what they would do, they put just case gasoline in it. And the denaturant, they can use almost anything to do it. It's just so that you can't drink it is what it boils down to. Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you have a question, Representative Cronin? Please.
For Mr. Christensen, just for the committee's benefit, how many gallons, over time we've ramped up our ethanol production, how many gallons do we export out of the United States? Or
we're exporting millions and millions of gallons. The South Dakota just recently got into the export market, and I believe Watertown, the Glacial Lakes plant, has exported, as has the Poet plants. The total state production in South Dakota is 1.1 billion gallons. It's a gross revenue of about $2.9 billion a year from the sale of ethanol in South Dakota. The bulk of that's shipped out of the state, and so it's really good money coming back in. And so what we're doing by this bill is allowing it to be exported. And, you know, I don't have the exact figures, but it's getting to be a bigger part of America. It's going to Brazil, to Saudi Arabia, and a lot of it to Europe.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, Representative Peterson.
I move to pass.
The motion is do pass on Senate Bill 85 by Representative Peterson, seconded by Representative Kamak. Any comments, Representative?
Well, thank you. The first 6 years of its existence, I served as board president of Poet Big Stone. And during those early years, we were importing a lot of ethanol, and a lot of it was coming from Brazil. And now we've gotten so efficient that we are exporting ethanol, and this is a good bill. This will allow us to meet the needs of that market, and I hope everybody can support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Additional comments? Seeing none, the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 85. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kamak?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Pass.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Nelson? Parsley?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Stalzer? Westra? Consett?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
10 yeas and 3 excused.
Having received, finally, the majority of the vote of the members elect,
Senate Bill 85 passes. Representative Consett.
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
The motion is to move 85 to our consent calendar by Representative Consett, seconded by Representative Rounds. All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 85 is now on our consent calendar. Thank you. And Representative Peterson, would you take that to our caucus? I trust Representative Magstead will speak to that in ours. The last item on our agenda for today is Senate Bill 52. Senate Bill 52 is an act to authorize 1 cent credit denominations for video lottery machines and to authorize the award of $1,000 on a video lottery machine and to make form and style changes to certain provisions regarding the lottery. And with that brief introduction, I will open public testimony to Senate Bill 52. Good morning, Mr. Lingle.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Norm Lingle, Executive Director of the South Dakota Lottery. Senate Bill 52 is an agency bill coming from the Department of Revenue Lottery Division, and it's part of the governor's red tape review. As a little background, last May, our lottery commission, which I might add is made up of some pretty smart, successful business people, and one of the things that they took on last May was a strategic plan meeting. And in my knowledge, at least since I've been at the lottery and probably for some time before that, a strategic plan has never been undertaken. And so the commission put forth a lot of effort, and at the September Lottery Commission meeting, the strategic plan was presented to the full commission and adopted by the commission. And part of that strategic plan was a review of existing statutes that would look at the governor's red tape review and make things cleaner and simpler for the lottery to ensure over the long term that the lottery remains a viable and sustainable source of revenue for the state of South Dakota. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will step through the changes in Senate Bill 52 and hopefully provide a brief explanation. The bill really does three things. It makes penny an eligible denomination for video lottery terminals. It eliminates the bet-to-award ratio and caps the maximum award at $1,000, which in statute it currently is at $1,000, and it cleans up and clarifies existing statutes. The first change is on page 1, line 8. This is a form and style change recommended by LRC, and you'll see this change or similar changes throughout the bill where it cleans up the but not limited to language. On line 12 of page 1, you will see the insertion of 1. That is to make a penny an eligible denomination to go along with nickel, dime, and quarter. The impetus behind the penny denomination is that many of the video lottery terminal manufacturers have existing library of games, and their existing libraries are all programmed at the penny denomination. This change will allow those folks to reach into their library of games and not have to do additional modification to make it meet the South Dakota requirements, because they will be able to come in with penny denominations. One thing to keep in mind is that the costs that our manufacturers incur at trying to modify software to come into South Dakota has to be recovered, and the way they recover that is by increasing the cost of the game software to our machine owners. And so this will hopefully allow for the cost to be held down and held in check, and allow our machine owners to invest in the new machines to keep the product fresh. On page 2 and 3, you will see the word entity or entities included. And basically what that is doing is to allow for all accepted forms of businesses to be licensed by the lottery. Moving to page 4, on line 6, this change eliminates the need to submit quarterly financial statements to the Lottery Commission, the Governor, State Treasurer, Attorney General, and the legislature. The lottery will continue to generate yearly financial reports, and I will also add that the lottery undergoes a yearly audit by legislative audit. Honestly, I'm not sure if the governor, state treasurer, attorney general, or even you folks at the legislature pay much attention to the quarterly financial statements. On page 5, beginning on line 13, this removes reference to the lottery prize payment fund. This is a fund that has never been used by the lottery. The lottery uses what is called the lottery operating fund, where all of the sales and license fees are deposited, and that's also the fund in which all the prizes are paid out. And so we do not use the prize payment fund, and so we are recommending that it be deleted. Moving on to page 6, line 8, this removes reference to the State Corrections Facility Construction Fund. This is a fund that I believe was at the early onset of the lottery, and that obligation has been met, and so that fund is no longer needed to be referenced within 42.7A. Page 6, line 15, it's just cleaning up unnecessary language as the year 1997 has come and went. On line 17 on page 6, this makes or deletes the word video. I'm not sure how that word got in there, but the correct terminology is online lottery tickets. There is no such thing that I'm aware of as an online video lottery ticket. On page 23, there is reference to the lottery prize payment fund, which I mentioned earlier. Begins on line 22 and carries over to line 23 on page 6. On page 7, beginning on line 3 and continuing on to line 4, this is where we eliminate the bet to award ratio you may win up to $125 in credit value for each 25 cents paid. You will notice that in the first line on line 2, there's the maximum of $2. We are not changing that. When you do the math on the bet to award ratio, the maximum award is $1,000. And so what we are proposing is to eliminate the bet to award ratio and just state $1,000 is the max award. South Dakota is the only jurisdiction that has that bet to award ratio. ratio. And so once again, I refer back to the library of games that our manufacturers have and the special programming that it would require to meet the South Dakota requirements. This would eliminating this would make it easier and less costly for our manufacturers to submit games for testing and also for our machine owners to purchase new game software. And just to mention again, it does not change the maximum award of $1,000. It just puts it in there without the bet-to-award ratio. All right, on line 9 and also on line 13, you will see on page 7, this change gives the lottery discretion to require gaming machine manufacturers to pay anticipated testing costs in advance of the testing process. This change aligns with our current practice. The way that we currently operate within the lottery is that we will incur the costs of testing the gaming machine as well as the software, and then on a monthly basis we will in turn bill that back to the respective manufacturer. And so this aligns with the way we currently handle the machine testing requirement, but it also allows us if there is a need to require some form of an advance payment if necessary. All right, on page 7, beginning on line 17, this is strictly cleanup. The establishments already have to meet the requirements of 42-7A-44. September 1, 1991 has come and went. Beginning on lines 21 and 22, this cleanup change repeals 427A61. This language is unnecessary as a nickel is already an approved credit. And then lastly, on page 7 and carrying over to page 8, this cleanup change repeals 427A65. This language is no longer necessary as the obligation for fiscal year 1996 has already been met. And so just to summarize, Mr. Chairman and member of the committee, these proposals that I'm speaking to and bringing forward today are part of the governor's red tape review, and we ask for your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 52, and I will certainly stand by for any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. Any additional proponent testimony to Senate Bill 52? Additional proponent testimony. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Chair and Committee. Representative Dick Werner, representing District 22, Beadle and Kingsbury County. I also had the pleasure and honor of serving on the South Dakota Lottery Commission from 2004 through 2012. Through those years, we've developed some changes in order to keep our players that they would have fresh entertainment, and one of those was to develop line games. And through this strategic plan that we worked through this last year, or 2012, part of that was to develop the penny in order that those line games could be fully implemented. I'm here today to ask you to support Senate Bill 52, and I would appreciate your favorable consideration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative. Additional proponent testimony. Mr. Ritter.
Morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Bob Ritter. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Music and Vending Association of South Dakota. Excuse me. I think most of you have a little bit of a perspective on the history of that organization, but I did want to mention that the association's been involved in amusement devices and being operators of amusement devices and pool tables and jukeboxes since at least the mid-40s. We've been involved with that association for a long period of time. When the voters of South Dakota considered lottery operations, our members became interested in that and became partners with the state and continue to be partners with the state in these operations. It was a very mature and still is a very mature entity as far as video lottery operations. And I think that it was a flat operation until the smoking ban went in, and when smoking ban was adopted, it dropped off dramatically. What I appreciate and what our organization appreciates is that the Lottery Commission, when that occurred, looked at lottery, because this really is the state's lottery, looked at it and tried to decide, were there other things that could be done to try to help energize and to help create that momentum or continue the momentum that lottery has had. And we appreciated the opportunity through the summer to be a participant in the discussions. We think that the commission's looked very hard at a lot of the issues involved, and as Mr. Lingle indicated, they're very business savvy commission, and two of the former commissioners now serve in the legislature in your body, and certainly you're aware of that. But it was important for us to see, and I think it's been good for the industry to see how involved the commission is and how they're looking forward to what can be done. And this bill, Senate Bill 52, is the culmination of that effort. For the time being, certainly. And while it is not necessarily, it works within the framework of what exists right now. So it isn't stepping beyond where the lottery is now. It's just taking the circumstances that the lottery has now and going, as Mr. Lingle indicated, going to opportunities for penny games, and which we think will at least have the possibility of energizing the system, and for those reasons we support the bill, and we more than that even support the effort that the Lottery Commission has engaged in, and we would hope that you can as well as the partner with private enterprise in this lottery program. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Additional proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Dean Krogman. I represent a group of lottery owners and called the South Dakota Entertainment Association, and I won't take as long as Mr. Rader did to say we support this legislation. However, like any business, there has to be change to keep it going, and we're working out of that smoking drop, but there is different competition with what we're dealing with on the eastern side of the state than at the time we started this. So we realize it has to change. We would appreciate some other changes, in fact, but we do appreciate the commission coming forward with this, and we do support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Additional proponent testimony.
Thank you, members of the committee, and my name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Licensed Beverage Dealers of South Dakota. I'll try to be even briefer than Mr. Krogman. The members of our organization have video lottery machines placed in their establishments throughout the state of South Dakota. And some of them own the machines, and some of them lease the machines from Mr. Ryder's client. We believe that this legislation will help retain our existing players and attract new players to the video lottery, and we appreciate the commission bringing this forward.
Thank you, Mr. Doherty. Additional proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee. My name is Larry Mann, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Video Lottery Establishments. I have about an hour and a half PowerPoint presentation. Oh, no. Thank you, Mr. Thanks for the reminder.
Mr. Langley, you were doing fine up until
now. I just wanted to mention that I really think that this effort that's that has been brought forward by the Department of Revenue and the Commission has really been something that I think other commissions and other agencies in the states could take advantage of. This idea of working manufacturers, owners, with the commission and the commissioner has really been an effort that I think that you would be proud of for employees of state government, and I commend them for that effort. You know, nothing's changed in this business really in 25 years, and so we've made some changes in rules that are much clearer than they were in 1989. We obviously the technology has changed, so that changes the way that machines communicate, the way machines communicate with the state. The line games brought on a whole new perspective with regard to communication and easier operation and more accurate operation of these new line games. So I think this has been an effort you'd be proud of. I was glad to have participated, as have my members. So I'd also urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Additional proponent testimony. Proponent testimony. Seeing no further proponent testimony, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 52? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am Dale Barcher. I'm a registered lobbyist with the Family Heritage Alliance Action. The Family Heritage Alliance Action will oppose any expansion of video lottery in our home state of South Dakota. Unfortunately, we do realize that video lottery is here to stay. We've had that statewide discussion at the ballot box four times. We believe that only but proves that many of your constituents are passionate enough to bring this issue to the ballot box four times. South Dakota legalized video lottery in 1989, when we became the very first state in the nation to do so. Since then, this gaming option has brought a steady stream of revenue and a steady stream of broken lives and societal ills. In light of the fact that respected South Dakota health mental authorities like Keystone Treatment Center has stated, and I quote, known as the crack cocaine of gambling, video lottery is one of the most addictive forms of gaming today. Compulsive video lottery gambling is a progressive illness which is diagnosable and treatable. It affects the gambler, the family, the employer, and the community. It is called the hidden illness, since there is no smell on the breath, nor stumbling of steps or speech. Nonetheless, a video lottery gambling addiction is as debilitating as alcohol or drug addiction, end quote. A study conducted by the Mountain Plains a few years ago found that for every $1 million spent on video lottery, we buy 172 crimes as a result. These crimes range from burglary and bad checks to child neglect when parents leave children unattended or let them go hungry while the addiction is fed. To say that we are concerned about the secondary negative effects of the expansion of video lottery gaming is an understatement. Although Senate Bill 52 does contain a number of most likely needed style and form issues and deals with a small lottery ticket issue, this is more, friends, than just a cleanup bill. It remains in part an expansion of the opportunity to diversify a person's video gambling options. This bill, minus its style and form issues, only but encourages a person to play longer and more repetitively as he or she plays the penny credits. We would respectfully ask you to oppose SB 52 in the current form and encourage its sponsor to bring a style and form bill, a true cleanup bill, without expanding video lottery in our great state. The fix to this bill, for those of us who oppose the expansion of video lottery, would be simple. Number one, remove the 1 cent credit from Section 1, Line 12. Number two, there is no number two. That's it. You can do this. You can salvage this bill while maintaining the principle of holding the line on expanding video lottery. This past Monday, we celebrated President's Day, and it reminded me the words of President Thomas Jefferson, who wisely said, "In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock." Representatives, we can swim with the current on this style, in matters of style, on this bill, but we will stand like a rock on the principle of not expanding video lottery in our great state. Once again, please consider removing the 1 cent credit from Section 1, Line 12. And I surely do thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Additional opponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Linda Schauer, and I'm the State Director for Concerned Women for America. We just want to be on record as opposing SB 52 because if we oppose any expansion of video lottery because of its highly addictive nature. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Additional opponent testimony. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mark Chase. I'm the registered lobbyist with the South Dakota Family Policy Council. I stand in opposition to this bill, along with what Dale Barcher had said. This is a 1 cent credit. Really what we're looking at is a moral issue here. And the question you all have to ask yourselves as you listen to the proponent testimony is, do we legislate in order to appease the manufacturers of video machines, or do we legislate and do what's best for the people in the state of South Dakota? On that, I turn it over to you and ask that you would maybe make the changes that Dale Barcher was saying and go and stand like a rock and make those changes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Additional opponent testimony. Opponent testimony to Senate Bill 52. Any other opponents? Seeing none, I would allow time for a short rebuttal. Mr. Lingle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Once again, Norm Lingle, Executive Director of South Dakota Lottery. You know, I don't see where this is, frankly, an expansion. A penny is less than a nickel, dime, or quarter. The max award remains at $1,000. We're working within the existing framework. These are all things that are related to the governor's red tape review. You know, as Mr. Ryder, I believe, mentioned, and I commented in my opening remarks, we are looking at ways to ensure that the lottery remains a viable and sustainable source of revenue. And like all businesses, we need to be cognizant of the changes in technology and the changes of the way things are done so that we can ensure that it remains a viable and sustainable source of revenue. And once again, I would say this is not an expansion of video lottery because a penny is less than a nickel, dime, and quarter, and $1,000 remains the maximum award. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lingle. With that, I would open it up to committee questions. Committee questions. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask a question of probably Mr. Lingle. Sir, right now I'm not aware of any 10-cent offerings in the state. Are there any relative to video lottery?
Mr. Lingle.
Mr. Chair. Representative Greenfield, with the approval of line games and the line games machines, we do have some machines out there that do make use of the dime denomination.
Mr. Chair, follow up. Are those machines considered part of the total allowable number? Were those machines allowed to come in addition to, is it 8,000 machines that are allowed? No, that's not right. How many machines are allowed across the state? What's the moratorium number?
Mr. Chair. The maximum number of machines per establishment is 10. And if I understand your question correctly, the line game machines would be part of that 10 allowable machines per establishment.
Okay, fair enough. I'm good with that answer. If there were any machines or any games offered at Ascent, those would be under the same, you know, maximum allowable number. They wouldn't be in addition to any machines that are already existing within an establishment, correct?
Mr. Chair,
please.
That is correct. The number of machines per establishment is unchanged by this by Senate Bill 52. It is 10, and it will remain up to a maximum of 10.
Additional questions? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor. What is your position on the good gentleman's request for an amendment on this and changes?
Mr. Chair,
please.
We would oppose any amendment to the bill. As I mentioned, I believe they feel this is an expansion, and I certainly don't view it as an expansion and would be worthy of any type of amendment.
Thanks, sir.
Representative Konzett.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I do want to ask, because it is obviously concerning when we do speak of the people that are addicted to lottery, does the Lottery Commission currently fund any type of rehab-type situation?
Mr. Chair, good question, and thank you for the question, Representative Konzett. Every year, the lottery sets aside $214,000 to be used for the treatment of problem gambling. And the way that works is that I believe it's now under the Department of Social Services. As they incur expenses that they can tie back to the treatment of problem gambling, they will submit those invoices to us, and then we will basically reimburse them for that cost up to the $214,000.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If this were the 1 cent increase to catapult gambling to a new level, would that number increase, or is that written in concrete? The 200 and
Mr. Lincoln.
Mr. Chair, the $214,000 started out as a letter of intent, I believe, from the Appropriations Committee, if I recall my history correct. The last few years, we have not received that letter of intent from appropriations, yet the lottery has continued to make that available. I will tell you that over the last couple years, the Department of Social Services has not accessed that full $214,000.
Any other questions? Seeing no further questions, I will close the public testimony portion of Senate Bill 52 and open it up for discussion or action.
Chair.
Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move due pass on Senate Bill 52.
The motion is due pass on Senate Bill 52, made by Representative Rounds, seconded by Representative Kirschman. Did you have a comment, Representative Rounds?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the cleanup on this and the majority of this bill is pretty much agreed upon. I didn't see hear any opponent testimony on the majority of the bill, except for the line 12 on page 1, the 1 cent addition. And my knowledge of video lottery players, I've seen it before where they will sit in a machine and feed 5s, 10s, 20s into these machines. And I'm looking at it this way. If there's a penny machine available, to me it's going to lessen the blow on people if they're going to use it for more of amusement. It just makes sense. I don't see it as an expansion at all. I think adding the penny option there for people who do want to use it just for amusement if they just stay at the penny, they're not going to lose their mortgage. They're not going to lose their rent payment on it. I think it's a good bill. I think adding that in will help the lottery at least give them a variety, bring in those new line machines. I would ask you to support the bill.
Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Comment, if I may.
Please.
It was my pleasure to have served on the Video Lottery Commission for the last year and a half. And I want to tell you, it's one of the finest boards that I have ever served on. The last two governors have done just an excellent job of picking people to serve on that commission. You have people with financial backgrounds. You have people with business backgrounds. They're very progressive. This has been a source of over $100 million for the state of South Dakota. And we just cannot make this. I know there's people that are against gambling, but this is not a referendum on gambling. This is trying to keep this industry a stable source of income for the state of South Dakota. And I just hope that you can back up all the hard work that these video lottery commissioners do. And now with Chuck Tuberville and Jim Putnam going on, that committee has gotten better, because I'm sure I, as an ag person, was the weakest link on that commission. And I hope that you can support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this is times when the conservative and libertarian in me seem to come into conflict. I'm all for giving South Dakotans the right to do as they please, but also in this aspect, realize with the government involvement in this, we're not talking about magical money. We're talking about money that's often taken from people that need it the most. Folks are having a hard time making it here in South Dakota, and I really am uncomfortable about the fact that we as a government are involved in trying to take that money away from them in such a, say, mischievous fashion, because these games are not designed to give these people money. They're designed to take money away from them. And all we're doing is expanding that opportunities so the person, instead of paying two quarters, now they're going to play 51 cents. It's still an opportunity to take money away from South Dakotans. I'm for expanding friendly poker games, penny ante, where the government's not taking money away from folks. But I got to tell you, I might have to stand in opposition to this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Additional comments?
Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a substitute motion. That on page 1, line 12, we delete the underlined 1 comma.
Second.
So you have a motion to amend, substitute motion to amend, and that amendment would be on line 12 of the bill, delete the word 1. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that was Representative Greenfield's motion, and that was seconded by Representative Nelson. Comment?
Mr. Chair, thank you. The folks who came and testified in opposition clearly have some strong and heartfelt feelings, and they've been allies of mine, and I've been an ally of theirs for a lot of years, and I would like to have an opportunity to see if this this motion has, you know, enough support to carry. We could further the discussion, but without that component within the bill. So I think that it's reasonable to hear their words and make this motion, because I do think that they have some valid concerns.
Thank you, Representative. Additional comments? The chair has one. I'm looking at this 1 cent, and based on testimony, I'm seeing 10 machines in an establishment, and in today's world, they're set at 5, 10, or 25 cents. Okay, and those same 10 machines. However, if we allow the penny machine, and based on testimony, any one of those 10 machines is going to be, quote, what I would think, downgraded to a penny, even from a nickel. And so I don't see where it could possibly be an expansion. It we're almost watering that down by taking some of those 10 or 5, 10 or 25 cent machines and making them penny machines. So we're actually lowering that potential. So personally, I'm going to resist the motion to amend. Representative Kamak.
Mr. Chairman, I am certainly understand and the testimony of the folks that are opposed to this, and I definitely understand the problems it can cause. I'm not in favor of expansion of video lottery, but at the same time, I also understand that there's South Dakota families that have invested in the business and they're playing by the rules, and I don't see this as an expansion because they're keeping the $1,000 maximum payout at the same as it was, and they're keeping the number of machines the same as it was, and so I guess I don't view it as an expansion.
Thank you, Representative. Additional comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion is to amend Senate Bill 52 by deleting on line 12 the word one. The motion to amend is a voice vote. And so at this time, those in favor of the amendment will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment fails. And we're back to our previous motion of do pass on House or Senate Bill 52. Any additional comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 52. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Kamak?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Miller?
Yes.
Nelson?
Nay.
Parsley?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Westra? Consett?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Miller?
I'm going to say nay, although I know it's going to pass, and I understand the paradox.
We had I lost my train of we have two yeas, ten yeas, two nays, and one excused.
Having received a majority of the vote of the members elect, Senate Bill 52 passes. And since you are well-versed, Representative Peterson, would you mind carrying this to the floor? And okay. Would you, is he here? Okay. And you'll be his backup, Representative Peterson. Take that to your caucus as well. Okay, that concludes our business for today, and I would certainly entertain a motion to adjourn. That motion by Representative Cronin, seconded by Representative Greenfield. All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.